Also want to welcome our online audience. You guys are unbelievable and amazing. I just thank you so much for being a part of these messages, even from a distance. I'm going to give a shout out to a guy I've shouted out before, my man Elliot. You were on a deployment, and you started watching us while you were on that deployment as a soldier. And then last night, I had the unique privilege, kind of happenstance, to talk to you on the phone because you were talking to one of the amazing people that serve on our dream team. I just want to give you a shout out, my brother, and say thank you for staying faithfully connected and continuing to watch week after week. Even now that you're off your deployment, you're still listening every Monday. I just appreciate you being a part of our church. Give it up, everybody, for Elliot and all those that watch online. You guys are so awesome, really and truly. It's very, very cool. All right, I want to get into part number four of this series that we've been in called Breakthrough. And what I want to do before we get into the final installment is give you a flash review of what we've been talking about. I'm going to try to just remember all my message titles and topics because sometimes I can get up here and my mind can just go flat. How many of you guys remember what I preached last week? Me neither. You know what I'm saying? It can be tough. It can be tough. But we've been in this series called Breakthrough. And really, I believe with all of my heart that God has been on a powerful move in a supernatural way in people's lives. I've been praying for you. I'm talking about, listen to me carefully, every single day. I have been praying for your breakthrough, asking God to give you the breakthrough that you are believing for. And there's so many people. I'm telling you right now, when we run our prayer services each night, hundreds of prayer cards each week were coming in, hundreds of them stretched across this platform. And being able to pick those cards up, to be able to pray with you, to be able to call on God on your behalf, that he would give you the breakthrough that you are believing for, has been one of the greatest honors, one of the greatest joys, honestly, of our lives as a staff, as a team, as a church, to be able to do that with you. Some of you have been writing your praise, like, hey, God answered my prayer. And our final on day 20, and our final night of our prayer services, I picked up a couple of cards that said, hey, God's answered my prayer, and this is what he's done. And I'm telling you right now, just big, huge, like, you know, one of those cheese grin smiles break out on my face, because I'm like, thank you, God. I know that you're hearing us, and I know that you're responding, and I know that so many of you have already begun to experience breakthrough. You've been telling me about it. And I look forward to hearing more and more stories. By the way, you can go to our website and say, contact us, and you can share your story. Tell us what God has been doing in your life. We would love to hear it. But I know that also some of you are just still believing God. Like, I'm still searching for my breakthrough. I'm still looking for him to move. And I'm telling you, he's still on the move. He's more eager to move in your life than you want him to move in your life. Did that make sense? Did I say that correctly? Like, he's more willing than you are wanting. How about that? Like, he really, really wants to do something powerful in your life. And I believe we've been in this powerful season in these messages of breakthrough. And in part number one, I said, hey, let's break through the lie, everybody. The lie is that Satan is trying to tell you and I that God does not want to be close to us. He does not want to be near us. That God is like, oh man, they're imperfect. You got all those issues. And somehow Satan gets in our head, I think, and he starts to build a case in our minds that because we have all these issues that God's disappointed or he's frustrated and that he doesn't want to be near us. And really, we just walked through the Bible and broke through the lie, and we proved that God wants to be close. It's always been his desire. It is still his desire. God wants to be very much near you, and it's important that we are close to God because when we get in God's presence, we find God's power. Come on, somebody. And so if I need power to break through something, then I need to get close to the source of power. It is God Almighty. So me being near God, God being close to God, cultivating my relationship with God is critical to me experiencing breakthrough in my life. Then in part number two, we talked about breaking through the barriers. Like, sometimes there are just things that separate us from where God wants to take us. And we went to Joshua chapter 6. We begin to talk about Israel and how they conquered Jericho and how they did some things in obedience to God. And then God just broke supernaturally. These walls that surrounded Jericho came crumbling down. And we just talked about the fact that God wants to break you through these barriers. He supernaturally, he wants to do things in your life so that you can go beyond this limitation that you've had in your life. Last week, what did we talk about? I told you I don't remember. What was last week? We talked about breaking through the misconception. And this misconception that once those walls fall and once I've experienced God's supernatural power, that like everything's going to be perfect. And we just sort of unpack the reality that, you want to know something? There are still battles on the other side of breakthrough. We looked at the reality that when the walls collapsed for Israel, when the Jericho walls fell, that we see that they had to draw their swords and go capture and seize. They actually had to fight for some things on the other side of the supernatural breakthrough from God. And what I want to say to you is that, man, like, don't be naive. Understand. And I know that this isn't super exciting to hear, but there are still battles on the other side of breakthrough. But listen to me carefully. Thank God, because I'm in new territory. I'm in a place I've never been. I'm walking in a journey. I've never been at this place before. So even though my sword has to be drawn and I still have some battles, I'm way further along in this journey of faith than I ever was before. Man, we're going to break through the misconception. Today, we're going to go back to Jericho. We're going to go back. Is that okay with you? Listen, I can't get away from Joshua chapter 6. The more I read it, the more God has been showing me some things. Honestly, I'm going to just, in all transparency, I'm going to say some things to you. I wish I could go back and I could do this series differently. It would be a 5-part series and I would change the order, because I've got, it's like revelation just keeps coming to me. God continues to show me more and more things in Jericho, in Joshua rather, chapter 6, in this Jericho story. So we're going to go right back to some very familiar verses. I want to show you one more thing, though, that God really showed me this week that I think is very, very important for us to experience our breakthrough. Let's get started. If, by the way, if you have a worship guide, inside of there is a sermon note insert. Always put one in there. And if you're a note taker, grab that out. Write some things with me today. Would love for you to just feed on this a little more. We're going to start in Joshua chapter 6. Again, we're going to read the exact same verses we read last week, except we're going to highlight some different things. We're going to look at something else that Israel did in order to receive the powerful breakthrough from God. The Bible says this: on the seventh day, the Israelites got up at dawn and marched around the city as they had done before. But this time, they went around the city 7 times. And the 7th time around, as the priests sounded the long blast on their horns, Joshua commanded the people, look what he said, shout, shout. If you're a note taker, circle that or underline that. He said, shout. And then the reason that he wants you to shout is because the Lord has given you the city. Like, God is going to do something. So there's a reason for you to proclaim. There's a reason for you to shout. There's a reason for your voice to be elevated, because God is doing something in you. And then he says, Jericho and everything in it must be completely destroyed. That's what we focused on last Sunday. That, you know what? The walls have fallen. There's been a supernatural move of God. But hey, draw that sword, because there's still some fighting to be done. So everything must be completely destroyed as an offering to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute, we talked about her, here we go, and others in her house will be spared, for she protected our spies. Do not take any of the things that are set apart for destruction, or you yourselves will be completely destroyed, and you will bring trouble on the camp of Israel. Everything, verse 19, made from silver, gold, bronze, or iron is sacred to the Lord and must be brought into his treasury. Let's just pause right there for a second. Jericho was the first battle that Israel would face to walk into the promised land. So Israel's been taken out of Egyptian captivity. They were slaves in Egypt. They've gone into the wilderness for 40 years, by the way. They've just been moving about in the wilderness. I think this was a critical point in Israel's history. In fact, I think that Israel walking around in that wilderness and in that desert was very, very important for you and I, because I think that what happened is they got set free from slavery. Come on, that's what happens when Jesus comes into my life. I get set free from slavery, but there's still sometimes slavery inside of me. And so it's important that Israel not only gets out of captivity, but then learns how to journey with God, learns how to listen to God, learns how God functions and how he thinks and how he moves. What had to happen was they had to get the renewal of their mind. They had to understand this is how God works. And then it's time for them to transition into their promised land. And so Jericho is the first city. It's the first battle. And God, let's be careful. It's just a side note that really doesn't carry total relevance to today's point, but I'm going to give it to you as a bonus. God says, the first city, the first thing you capture, I just want it all. I want it all. destroy it all, bring everything into the storehouse, give it to me as a gift. I want the first one. After that, Israel got to keep all the plunder and all the spoils. Just your side note for this morning, listen, God will only take one place, first place. Amen. First fruits matter. What I do first matters. My offering to the Lord first is important. It's part of how God functions. This is what Israel learned in the wilderness, is God's culture, God's way of thinking. It was just a thought process that had to be instilled in them. And he said, hey, it's not that he's greedy. It's not that he's selfish, because he said, you can have everything else. I just want first things to be first. I have to be first, God was saying. Making sense, everybody? That's your bonus for today, okay? So that's why everything goes to the treasury. That's why everything is given as a sacrifice. When the people heard, we're now in verse 20, when the people heard the sound of the ram's horns, watch what they did. They shouted as loud as they could. And then suddenly the walls of Jericho collapsed and the Israelites charged straight into the city and they captured it. Let's talk about this just for a minute. I noticed some things that Israel did, and we've talked about these over the course of weeks. The first thing that they had was the presence of God with them. In prior weeks, we talked about the Ark of the Covenant, and we talked about the fact that the presence of God was with them. Listen to me carefully. I must be in God's presence to experience God's power. I need to walk with God. Come on, somebody. I've got to have it. They had his presence. The second thing, this would be the fifth installment that I would add if I could rebuild this whole thing. I noticed some things that Israel uses, and one of the things that they use are their ears. They hear from God. They're listening to God. God is giving instruction. God is giving direction. God is giving marching orders, and they use their ears first. God, I need to hear you. God, I need to know what you are saying. I need to deposit your words into my spirit. Come on, I'm kind of referencing our Bibles right now. This is how I hear God. I need my ear to be in tune to what the Father is saying. The second thing that I noticed that they use are their feet. Remember part two, we talked about that they took steps of obedience. They took steps of faithfulness. They took steps together in community. And we talked about their faithful step by step by step march all the way to their breakthrough. And then last week, we talked about how they used their swords, that there's still battles on the other side of breakthrough. This is where I would reverse these, because today what I want to talk about is the fact that they use their voices. They use their voices before they use their swords. And your voice matters. And I'm going to talk about the power of our language today, the power of our voices, and how what we say is so critical to our breakthrough and what God is trying to do in our lives. In fact, the only thing, again, I've tried to keep your notes really, really light on purpose. You can write more if you want to, but I want you to write this down with me, that my voice is a weapon. My voice is a weapon for my breakthrough. Your voice matters. What you say matters. What you declare matters. The power of our words are essential to the future of our lives. I'm going to talk about this just a little bit today, but I want you to hear it. I want it to settle in your heart. My voice, it's a weapon for my breakthrough. Israel's ears were weapons. Their feet were weapons. Their voice, weapons. Their swords, weapons. The whole time, they were fighting like warriors in every faithful step and in every faithful stage of God transforming their lives and giving them supernatural breakthrough. Today, I want to focus on your voice. Let me show you a couple of verses. I want to reinforce and emphasize just biblically, scripturally, the power of our tongue, the power of our voice, and how much it matters to what God is trying to do in our lives. Watch what the Bible says, Proverbs 18:21. This is all extra now. So if you're a super note taker and you want this data, you can write it down. The Bible says that death and life are where? They're in the power of our tongue, our voice. What we say really matters. Some of the parents in the room will understand this, that maybe you've had a moment with your kids where you've been parenting your kids, and they say something that is very, very ugly. And then you're like, whoa, we don't say that. We don't talk like that, right, parents? We've probably all had those moments. We don't say things like that. That was very ugly, or however you would parent. We don't want to use that kind of speech. We don't want to use that kind of language. Why? Why does something rise up within us when where did that come from? Or man, that is not a good thing. Something rises up inside of us, doesn't it? It's because we have an understanding from God that our voice matters and what we say matters and our narrative is important and what we proclaim over our lives is critical to what God's going to do in our lives. One more verse, and listen, I could give you dozens. All right, I just selected a couple. One more verse. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Don't talk in unwholesome ways, unhealthy ways, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. That may, watch what it's going to do. It's going to benefit those that listen. So when I'm not allowing unwholesome talk that's not helpful, when I'm guarding against those kinds of words from coming out of my mouth, guess what it does? It helps. It helps. And I just want to unpack this a little bit because I got to give some disclaimers here. I am not preaching like name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, spit it and get it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not. Here's what I'm not saying. What I'm not saying is, If you want a red Ferrari, just start saying it. I'm getting me a red Ferrari. I'm gonna have a red Ferrari. And then all of a sudden, one day, you wake up in the morning, there's in your driveway a red Ferrari. I don't think God works this way. I don't, because in James, the Bible talks about what we ask for and how sometimes we can ask amiss because we ask so that we can spend it on our own pleasures. So what I'm not saying is, just say whatever you want, you're going to wind up with it. Like, listen, I'm never going to be a 6'2" black man. I can proclaim it every day. I want to be a 6'2" black guy. Guess what? I'm a 5'11" white guy. That's who I am. And no matter how much I talk about changing, I am what I am. Is everybody tracking with me? All right? But what I say about things is important. So let's just work this fine line between the difference of this thing, because some of us have found ourselves in horrible habits about what we declare over our lives. Yeah. Like, I guess I'll just always be this way. Well, I just get it from my dad. Well, it's just how my family is. I guess I'll always be a mess up. I guess this is just who I am, you know? I guess I'm not the brightest crayon in the box. I guess I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. And if we're not careful, we can start to speak unwholesome talk over our lives. And guess who's hearing it? You are. And guess what's starting to happen? You're starting to buy into the narrative that you've declared over your life. And so what you're doing, one of my heroes in the faith calls it language of the lid. That now all of a sudden you're beginning to speak into your life a lid that you'll never excel beyond because of the limitation of your speech. Because I'm starting to say it enough that where I'm just starting to believe it, and really the Bible already declares that the abundance of my heart, the mouth speaks. So what's on the inside is coming out, but the Bible also says that my mind can be renewed by God. Amen. And so some of you, and maybe it's your an attempt to be humble, like in the purest way. Maybe it's just you trying to be real about a situation in your life. And so what you're doing is you just have some negative speech going on, and you're not necessarily meaning it to be harmful, but it is. Because now your mind is starting to run with what you are saying about your life. I'm reading a book right now. And in this book, my hero in the faith, he calls it Language of the Lid. This book that I'm reading that, by the way, is transforming the way I think, written by a Christian author. It's an amazing, it's called Your Best Year Ever by Michael Hyatt, if you just want to put it on your to-read list. Michael Hyatt, Your Best Year Ever. It's a phenomenal book. It's really, really awesome. And it's changing the way I think. And what he calls it is limiting beliefs. So I have beliefs about me that are limiting me from walking into God's fullness for me. So there's things I hope to see, but I just don't believe it's possible. And, you know, I'm just this guy, and, you know, I always get it wrong and blah, blah, blah. And whatever your negative belief, your limiting speech, language of the lid might be, that if I'm declaring it, that means it's in my heart, I'm saying it, and then all of a sudden I'm hearing it, and now it's unwholesome and it's not helpful. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to just figure out, how can I change my language? How can I set my belief to be better and more wholesome and helpful for my breakthrough? because I want to go places that I've never been before. And somewhere deep down inside, I hope that you believe that more is possible. I hope that you do. So here's the question that I want you to ask this morning. I want you to ask this question. What are my limiting beliefs? Now listen to me, church. I actually want you to really take your time. I want you to answer this. So it might be later today, tomorrow, or later in your week. I want you to answer the question, what are my limiting beliefs? What are they? What is it that I keep saying that's stopping me from going where God wants me to go? And I'm going to be really transparent with you today. I'm going to unpack with you one of my limiting beliefs that I discovered just in this year, just in our 21 days, some speech that I had that was not wholesome. It was not carrying me to breakthrough. It was not putting me in the place that I know God wants me to go. And I didn't even recognize the reality that I was speaking this truth over my life when really it isn't true. But I'm starting to believe it because I'm saying it. We're going to talk about that. But I want you to really answer this question. Like, take your time and think about it. What are my limiting beliefs? Because the truth is, we all have them. Now, let me say it this way. We all have limiting beliefs. Here's the thing. Some of you are saying things about yourself that are completely untrue. You're just saying them. So you're speaking language of the lid. You're wrapping yourself in a limiting belief that simply isn't true at all. You just have a bad speech pattern. You have a bad belief about yourself that God is saying, no, I want to completely crash that, and I want to give you something new to say because that's not true at all. On the other hand, there are some of us that are saying things about ourselves that may have some truth. So maybe there are things that are partly true. Let me give you an example, and it's not the one. I'm going to share one in a little more detail in a second. Let me give you an example. I have some administrative skills. I have some. So when I do, like in our discovery class, step two of All Access, we do this assessment of yourself, and it reveals to you some of the giftings that God has given you, some of the spiritual giftings. One of my higher scores, certainly not my highest, but one of my higher scores is administration. In other words, I understand how to organize. I like to be organized. I like systems, and I like things to be in places, and I like to know what steps to take in order to get somewhere. I believe systems deliver vision, so I'm all about systems. And so I have some administrative skills. However, I have administrative limitations, so I'm not the best at it. Now, if you want to see somebody that has some amazing administrative, like I'm talking about muscle. Let me introduce you to Lorreen Veazey on our staff. She's unbelievable. Like she supersedes me and it's like the gap is big. Pastor Aldridge, loads of administrative abilities, right? Now there was a point in the life of our church that I started to recognize that my administrative limitations were having adverse and negative effects on you. I was recognizing this. I was seeing that I was hitting a lid. Now, I had a choice, and as we're going back last year, I had a choice. And what I could have begun to proclaim is, well, I just don't have the administrative skills. I just don't have what it takes. I guess I'm not smart enough. Maybe this is all our church is ever gonna be. And I could have declared those things over my life, but I didn't. Because while a partial truth is that I have administrative limitations, the narrative that I choose is that I may have administrative limitations, but I'm smart enough to surround myself with people who don't. So I hire a Lorreen Veazey because she'll take us where I cannot. I go out and I get on our team and hire a Pastor Aldridge because he can take us where I cannot. And so while there's a partial truth, my narrative is not going to speak negatively about the reality that I do possess some administrative abilities. It's a gifting that God has placed on the inside of me. However, it's not my strongest gifting, but you know what one of my strongest gifting is? Leadership. You know what good leaders do? They get the right players on their teams. And so you want to know what? Instead of speaking negatively about the limitations of my administration, I'll speak positively about the giftings of my leadership. And what I'll do is I'll just go around it so that I'm not saying unwholesome things about me. I'm just saying truthful things about me. And then I get to lift other people up and their great abilities. Am I making sense? So some of you need to change the narrative about the limitations. There might be a partial truth, but what has God given you to route around it? I hope this is helping. I really hope this is helping. It's changing my life in certain ways. Okay. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable, God, in your sight. So listen, you can call it humility if you want to, but speaking down about yourself isn't helping you. And the truth of the matter is, it's not acceptable to the sight of the Lord. Because he made you perfectly.
Yes,
he designed you the way that you are. He fabricated you with every skill set, and he fabricated you with everything. And listen to me, he even fabricated you with limitations. You know why? Because he knew you needed other people. Our whole makeup, everything about us is perfectly designed for community. Stop being the loner. You're not gonna survive there. You need your church family. You need your community to take you to places that you can't go on your own. So let God, the words of my mouth and the meditation in my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Whew, I like that word. That's so good. I could preach on that last sentence. Amen. All right, another question I want you to ask is this. What is my new narrative? What's the new? So if I have the language of the lid, if I have a limiting belief, what's my new narrative? What am I gonna now say? What's gonna change in me to be different so that I can be pleasing to the Lord, so that it's wholesome speech coming out of my mouth? How can life come from my tongue, not death? How do I do it? And so here's where I wanna give you an example, all right? My example is this, that I used to have this thing that I would say. In fact, you may have heard me say it. I've said it from the platform. And here's what I would say. I would make this statement about myself, and I would say, I have small faith. How many of you have ever heard that? You remember those words coming from my mouth. Okay, I got some hands. I have small faith. Now, I'm gonna contextualize why I said that, okay? I said that because there are many times that I feel like the team that I'm around has taken me where I wouldn't have gone alone. Let me give you some examples. When I sit with our staff in staff meetings, there have been a few times, I'm talking several times, that our staff has said, Pastor Josh, I think we need to take this step. One of them is when we went from 2 services to 3. I didn't think we were ready. I would have held back. I would have launched months later. But it was our staff that said, now is the time. This is the moment. Pastor Derek led a staff meeting. I'm telling you right now, I will never, ever forget it. It was one of the most profound moments in the history of our church. So I see some of the faces of our staff and they're like, yeah, never forget it. It was them that made me believe, all right, let's do this. I believe, by the way, I'm gonna just let you into my head space a little bit. I truly believe that every person that is on our staff, that is on our team, that is a part of this house, God put you here on purpose. So I would be a complete fool not to listen to them. So there are times that I hear from God, from the people at the tables that I'm sitting at. There have been times sitting with our board of directors that I've said, and they have said, I really think that we should. We made a major decision this year in our 2020 budget that I was like, yeah, about. And you know what? It's been awesome. Why? Because the board of directors said, hey, we really think now's the time. And we really think that we can do it. And you want to know something? They took me where I wouldn't have gone on my own. And so what I began to say was, I have small faith. I have small faith. Thank God he puts people around me that have big faith. The truth is, I do not have small faith. I don't. Because when Lauren and I quit our jobs to take this role, that took some big faith. I'm going to tell you right now. And we walked through, we did a season of pastoring this church where we were completely bivocational. I'm talking like we had, went, like I don't even know if bivocational is the word. Like we just went to work all week and then I would come and preach on Sunday. And then we had a season where it was bivocational. It was a little here and it was mostly there. And there came a season in our lives where we just felt like God said, now's the time. And it was all around a prayer meeting of all things. Come on, we pray here. of all things, that God called me to lead a prayer meeting that conflicted with my work schedule. And I left a job that was giving me a very adequate income, and we walked into some of the most difficult financial times of our entire lives. But you want to know something? I knew it was God, and I went for it. And God honored that, and God blessed that. You want to know something? It took big faith to do that. So as I've been reading this book, and as God has been speaking to me, and I've been saying, what are the limiting beliefs that I have, and how can I change the narrative? I've changed my speech. I will no longer say about myself that I have limiting, or that I have small faith. I'm not going to say that anymore because it isn't true. But there's a partial truth. And the partial truth is that I don't typically take big risks. Like not always, like I will, but I'm more of like, only some of you guys are gonna get this, I'm more of like a West Coast offense leader. In other words, just 5 yards here, 10 yards there, 12 yards there. Little by little, step by step, we make our way to the end zone and we score. I don't like to throw the deep ball that often, but sometimes I will. It's only some of you are gonna get that, I recognize. But I'm just more of a methodical thinker. I like to see things and I like to see them proven. And then I can say, yes, it's working. Now let's keep stepping. So I've changed my narrative. And I'm going to show you exactly what my new speech is. Ready? Here's my new narrative. I am prudent and systematic, and I measure results to determine effectiveness. This is really me. I'm very prudent, and I think about things, and I'm systematic, so I want to see it. Show me that it is working, and then I measure results. Are we winning or are we losing? Is it impacting people's lives or is it not? Is it the best use of resources? Is it the best use of time? Is it the best use of team? Is it best? And if it's working, then I move. And if not, then I will say, we're going to change everything. But I take big risks when I feel God has spoken clearly. This is my new narrative. So Pastor Josh does not have small faith. He has big faith. I'm believing God for big things. It's going to take a lot of faith to get there. But you know what? I found a limiting belief, a language of the lid that I think was stopping me from taking us where God wants us to go. And I had to sit down and rewrite a narrative. I haven't even gotten this memorized yet. It's that new. That's why I put it on the screen. I am prudent and systematic, and I measure results to determine effectiveness. I take big risks when I feel that God has spoken clearly. The question for you is, what are your limiting beliefs? And then the next question is, what's your new narrative? It's time for it to change. Say something different. I want you to speak words of faith. Find the truth that you can find in Scripture and declare those things. Just yesterday, I met with a very dear friend of mine, and he's struggling. He has got a real battle going on inside of his mind, real battle. And I got the chance, me and another friend got the chance to go and see him and talk to him. And I showed up with a list of scriptures on a piece of paper that our administrative muscle, Lareen Veazey, put together for me. Come on. And I showed up there, and I said, hey, my friend, you got these limiting beliefs. Satan is lying to you. And so what I want you to do every time that these negative thoughts come up, I handed him one of y'all remember our pause, listen bracelets that we had from our 21 days of prayer in August? Somebody's wearing one right there. I handed him one of those bracelets, and I said, every time those negative thoughts come up in your mind, you're gonna pause, and you're gonna listen. And this is what you're gonna listen to. These truths, this is God's word on the sheet of paper, and it is alive, and it is powerful, and it has the ability to change your mind, to renew you, and to refresh you. So you're gonna pause, listen, and this is what you're gonna listen to. And then I gave him my other bracelet. I took both of them off, and I said, because that's what's gonna bring you to your breakthrough. That's the bands we're wearing right now for 21 days of prayer and fasting. You're gonna pause, listen, and have breakthrough. And some of you, that's your new strategy right there. God is trying to renew your mind, and Satan is trying to destroy it. What do you need? I need the truth of God's word so that I can declare those things into my life so that my voice can be my weapon for breakthrough. My shout matters. What I declare matters. What I lift my voice to matters. No more limiting speech. No more language of the lid. No more limiting beliefs for me. No, there's a new narrative. I will speak hope. I will speak life. I will speak faith so that God can bring me to a breakthrough. Amen. Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm going to land the plane. I want y'all to be able to go celebrate our launch party. I'm going to ask this question. What are your limiting beliefs? What are they? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for you first. I want to pray for you, and I want to pray that God would instill in you a new narrative, that you would begin to speak life and speak faith and speak in agreement with God's word. So, Father, I pray for every single person that's in a fight in their mind. The battlefield of the mind is such a dangerous place, and I pray in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, that you would help these people, our church, those even watching online that are a part of our church from a distance. I pray in Jesus' name, Father, that you would do a mighty work in their lives. I pray, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, that you would help them to identify their limiting beliefs. That you would help them to identify the language of the lid. And Father, that you would move in their lives and help them to create and rewrite a new narrative that they can begin to speak and declare over their lives so that their voice becomes like the shouts of Israel at Jericho. Their voice would become weapons that they would wield against the enemy that is in line with the word of God, that the Bible would be declared from their mouths so that they could experience your breakthrough. And I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, for every person to experience a new narrative and a new breakthrough because their voice is a weapon, I pray in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Now, with your head still bowed and eyes still closed, maybe you're here this morning, maybe you're watching online, you've never made a decision to follow Jesus. You've never given him your whole life. I want to give you the opportunity to do that right now. If you've never made that decision to follow him, I'm telling you right now, it will be the best decision you've ever made. Give him your life. Just give it to him already and watch what he'll do with it. Watch what he'll do. If that's you, I want to invite you to say a prayer with me. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and all I want you to do is just repeat after me. For some of you, you might be saying it as like a renewal prayer. Maybe it's just time to get back into a place where your closeness with God is real again. That's good. I want you to say this prayer too. Church, you know how we do it? I always ask every voice in the whole auditorium to say it with me. I want you to say these words. Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give God praise for those that made that decision.